Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. Are you ready for a snowstorm of global proportion? Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just hit your podcast experience. And here he is, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is going out live at 6 p.m. on October 27th, 2015. But my worldwide audience listens to these podcasts forever. So whenever you're listening, welcome. In this episode, Jason Stewart, out on stage, screen, and in life. He's an outrageously funny, openly gay comedian known for serving up brutal honesty with humor in a world that is not always kind. In his new show, I'm Only Gay on the Weekend, Stewart takes audiences on a hilarious journey with his latest realization, I'm just too busy to be gay all week, and the upkeep is just too much. Audiences recognize Stewart as an actor with close to 125 films and television credits on his resume, and I'll tell you more about Jason, and he will too, when he returns for the interview.
The snowstorm continues after this.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
Hi. I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before, and I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
And now, on with the show. He's a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and to media outlets throughout the world. He's an author, singer, songwriter, actor, and activist, and the executive producer and host of NicholasSnow.tv. He has created and continues to do so a snowstorm of global proportions dedicated to connecting the circuitry of humanity. And now, drifting into the studio and your life once again, Nicholas Snow.
And as I mentioned at the top of the show, audiences recognize Jason Stewart as an actor with close to 125 films and television credits on his resume. He just wrapped a major supporting role as plantation owner Joseph Randall in the Nat Turner biopic, The Birth of a Nation, starring Nate Parker and Armie Hammer. This film is a game changer for the out actor as he plays a straight man. He also notably appears in filmmaker Sean Baker's Sundance Festival hit, Tangerine, which gained attention for being shot entirely on an iPhone, and he has a supporting role in the new comedy parody, Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte, starring Varla Jean Merman, Mink Stoll, Matthew Martin, and David Milburn. You're listening to this broadcast live on October 27th, and Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte has its big premiere in the Bay Area at the Castro Theater later this week. At any rate, welcome to the show, my friend Jason Stewart. Hey, Jason.
Hey, yes, I'm actually sitting at the airport in my car waiting to catch a plane to San Francisco for the opening.
Well, fantastic. Now, do we have time? How much time do I have you for before you need to zip off to the terminal there?
Whatever you need me for, I'm ready to go.
Well, fantastic. So you're not only are you one of the funniest people that I know, but you're the person in the world of comedy who I probably know the best and have known for the longest. I think I've known you for about almost 30 years now. Since we were in preschool.
Yeah, we sort of came out together in a sense. Our trajectory has been, you know, our careers have been different somewhat, but we sort of came out together through the AGA, which was the Alliance of Gay Artists, which both of us, I think, well, not both of us, I was a closeted member, and you were the Tinseltown queer.
Yes, the Alliance for Gay and Lesbian Artists in the Entertainment Industry, AGLA. I like to describe it as the precursor to GLAD. Now, it didn't actually...
It really was, yeah. It really was.
Yeah, it didn't become GLAD. GLAD was born in and of its own effort, but it laid the groundwork for an organization like GLAD to come into being. And then, of course, you and I were both very involved with the Experience, which was known historically as the Advocate Experience, and then the Experience Weekend, and it's still happening. For information about that, our listeners can go to experienceyourpower.com. Well, congratulations, Jason, because I know that you've known for a long time that there was a more powerful actor within you than a lot of others realized, and now you're getting the opportunity to showcase that.
Yeah, it's sort of, I feel really, really lucky. I ran into Billy Clift at a screening of a film that I was in, and he came over to me and he said, "I've been a fan of yours and we're going to be friends." I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, I didn't like this film, but I loved you." And then he had given me this script for Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte and asked me to be in it. And he said, "I don't have the money and I don't know how it's going to get done." And this was a couple years ago. And a year ago we shot it, and he said, "What, you know, he wanted me to play Dr. Drew, which is a more sort of straight-laced kind of character." And I thought, I know someone that would be great for that, David Milburn. I want to play the journalist, the British journalist. He said, "Oh, really? Okay." And then I realized I had no idea how I was going to play the part. And I sort of panicked, and then we did this teaser, and I started fooling around with this British accent, and I don't know, it just sort of happened. The character is somewhere, I like to say, between Anthony Hopkins and Judi Dench.
Well, I really loved the film, even though it's officially having its world premiere in San Francisco this week at the Castro Theater. I had the opportunity to see a sneak preview at the recent Cinema Diverse. Here in Palm Springs. And you guys had such a wonderful, warm audience, packed house that night, that really seemed to get it.
It really was great. I mean, you know, I had seen the film online, and then to see it with an audience was really, really fun. I mean, you know, you just never know how something is going to react comedically to an audience. And I didn't I wasn't in charge of, you know, editing the performance or anything, so I have to sort of, like, let go and, you know, see whatever happens. You know, you do your performance, but the DP and the director and the producers all put it together. So you just got to hope and pray that it turns out okay.
And it's always a relief when it does. Exactly. I have since had Billy Clift on my show, the writer-director of the film. You can find that podcast at nicholassnow.com for anyone listening. So, Jason, I have a really great comedy set of yours all lined up and ready to go. Thank you for giving me permission to broadcast it. But before we give them a real experience of your stand-up, what would you like to say about your life and times in that world?
Well, I have to say that I've become very relaxed with my work as a stand-up, and I've really sort of embraced my improvisational style of including the audience in the show, which I used to sort of not, because it wasn't a popular thing to do. And somebody the other day in some article coined me as the gay Don Rickles or the gay Joan Rivers, and I thought that was sort of, you know, an incredibly kind thing to say. Certainly I don't have the years that they have or the experience or the celebrity, but I'm really honored to have my name attached to this because I just love them both. And so, I feel really cool about it. I feel like I'm talking about things that I want to talk about and the things that make me laugh, and that's what I do. And when I say something, you know, that I think is funny, it's just my job to set it up so the audience understands where I'm coming from.
I love that. I did a stand-up comedy workshop at Highways and ultimately got a reference to do 3 minutes at the Belly Room at the Gay Comedy Night. And I ended up performing there for over a year and came up with a good 15 minutes or so of solid material. I haven't done that a lot, and I wasn't trying to become a stand-up comic. I just wanted to be a better rounded performer. But I always appreciate
it.
You didn't know I did that.
No, I didn't. I wish I could have known. I would have come to see you.
I'm full of surprises. Well, both of us have lots of great things still ahead, but I'm going to actually delight our audiences with this comedy set of yours, and then we'll bring you back for more Q&A. How's that?
Cool.
Okay, fantastic. And here is the very, very funny Jason Stewart.
Oh, it's hard to get older. It is. You start getting afraid of things that you were never afraid of before. I used to love to go to amusement parks, go on a ride, and almost die. But now that I'm getting closer to death, I don't want to go. I recently went to Six Flags. Six Flags Magic Mountain. Has anybody ever been there? They have this ride, and it's called the Batman ride. This ride scared the shit out of me. First of all, there's no floor, right? They strap you in like you're some sort of friggin' mental patient. Your legs hang over like you're mini-me. I got so nervous, I felt like my uterus came out through my mouth. And I don't even have a uterus. I think it was the woman behind me. Because when I was done with the ride, I was wearing a pair of high heels, and they were not my own. They were his. I think I love you. What am I so afraid of? Her. And you get older, you know what you start to do? You start to go to Costco and Target, and you just buy things. You get in there, and you're like a crazy person. You can't just buy regular things. You need big things and lots of things. And then you need a card, and you need a thing, and you gotta walk in, and you gotta, What the hell is going on at Target? Do they have heroin going through the air conditioning? It's insane, is it not? Oh, my God. I walk in there, and all of a sudden, my eyes glaze over. And I say, I need 400 placemats made out of bamboo. Now! You know, I need a gazebo for my one-room apartment. I want 400 rolls of toilet paper. I am not kidding. I don't know what to do with them. I made a couch. Okay, I went back and bought 100 more to make a chair to match. And I threw an Afghan over it. It looks fabulous. Come and visit. Look at this big guy. He's like a farm animal. Anyway. Well, you think of me as a farm. And when you graze, take your time. You watch out for me. You know why? I actually bought a new car recently. My car, my 1997 Toyota RAV4. Yeah, it died. That's my baby. 14 years. Longest relationship for me. Yeah, it died. You know, it had the cassette tape and the roll-up windows. But I'm in a 2010 Prius. It's like a goddamn spaceship. It's so quiet. I backed up. I killed 2 people and Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga, what's the big deal with her? She's so Lady Gaga, the original, you know. Who is Lady Gaga? She's Madonna with a birdcage on her head. But I am the worst driver that ever lived. I really am. Oh, God, I'm such a bad driver. Oh. But now they have this new thing, right? It's called, what do they call it? Photo tickets. Have you seen it? Yeah, it's really great. The photo tickets. This is a photo ticket. You drive through a red light, they snap a picture of you, and they send it to you in the mail. So I sent them a picture of some money. They sent me a picture of handcuffs. So I sent them a picture of my lawyer. They sent me a picture of prison. I said, I'm gay, that's hot. 16 photos. In my neighborhood, that's a fashion shoot. I'm Jason Stewart. Thank you very much.
And during the break, check out jasonstewart.com, and Stewart is spelled S-T-U-A-R-T, jasonstewart.com.
Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. The snowstorm continues after this.
Designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revival. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revival. Find it here. Visit us at revivalstores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest-running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programming, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
Those paparazzi heard you were going to be on the show, Jason, and they just will not leave us alone.
That's so funny.
Jason, you
that was done, just to let you know, that was done at the Ice House Comedy Club, and it was I was really, really honored to be asked to be part of their 50th anniversary DVD. That was really, really sort of cool to be asked to do that. I was just, that was quite an honor. And if anybody out there is around, I'm going to be in Ventura, California on the 30th and 31st and then this month in Ventura, California, at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club. And then on the December 18th, I'll be back in Palm Springs at the Purple Room, of which I'm going to be doing a monthly show. I don't know if I told you that.
I didn't know that. Congratulations. And that means you get to see your mom at least once a month.
Yes, yes. And, and you know, she begs and cries when I leave.
I'm sure, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, this podcast will exist forever. So if you're listening anytime after the dates that Jason mentioned, go to jasonstewart.com because he always has exciting things coming up. So, Jason, you and I are living in a time today when it's sort of surprising that people are not out of the closet, and so many people that we know are. But we both started in Hollywood at a time when it was rare for anyone to be out of the closet, and you were initially closeted and then came out. Why don't you talk about how you started to get attention and traction with your career and the struggle that you were experiencing about whether or not to come out, and what ultimately inspired you to do so?
Well, I just think that it was just a different time, and people saw us differently. And as the years have gone on, it's been around 22 years since I came out. I still very much feel like I stand on the shoulders of other people who did it before me. You know, people like Robin Tyler and Michael Greer. I don't know if people even remember him, and Charles Pierce, and even some of the comedians who really weren't even out, but they certainly were out in terms of their performance style, Paul Lynn and Charles Nelson Reilly and Rip Taylor. And I very much feel that they, broke the road for me, as they say. Or, you know, when you break the ground, somebody asked me recently in an interview, when you break the ground, do you get to walk on it? Well, I intend to. And even just the other day, there was a casting director that told my representative, they said, well, there's no way Jason can play a straight role. You know, that was just said point blank. And, you know, in May of this year, I actually did a film called The Birth of a Nation, which is the biopic to Nat Turner, the first black abolitionist, I believe, in 1831, that fought back against white slave owners. And I get to play a plantation owner, a white, straight, heterosexual plantation owner. And there's just so much, Nicholas, to tell you about that. There's so many
things
that happen. Yeah, as an artist, it completely changed my career, because I got the job because of my performance on the videotape that I auditioned on, because it was shot in Georgia, in Savannah, Georgia, and I auditioned on tape first. And then I was told later that when I went in for the callback, when I flew to Savannah to meet with them, that I had gotten the job from the tape, and they just wanted to meet me, and it was basically my job to lose. And I just, when I heard that, I just started to cry. I mean, I really wailed, because it's so many years, you know, just to know that somebody saw me as an artist and as an actor, and as somebody who, you know, can do different things. It's not a one-trick pony, you know. It was just really amazing to me. And it gave me great hope in my life, just as a human being, and that my dreams maybe can come true. And this film will come out in 2016. So I'm very excited about it.
Well, congratulations. You know, one of the things I like to ask virtually anyone that I interview is, was there a key moment in your life, a turning point that where you made a decision or you experienced something that just really altered your future and put you on the path that brought you where you are today?
This film really did, because a couple of years ago, I was thinking to myself, well, maybe it's time to move to Palm Springs where I can be the youngest gay guy there. I was thinking maybe it's just time to hang out with my mom and come in for auditions or shows when I have to, and just sort of, you know, maybe that's the time. Maybe I'm never going to get what I want. How long can I, you know, how many auditions can I go on? I had it in my mind a couple of years ago that I was the guy with a million credits. And then when I realized that I wanted to have more meaty roles, that I wanted to do things that move people, I'm in a film that's the beginning, basically, of Black Lives Matter. I think it's the first documented fight back or pushback against the slave owners. And I don't think there's anything else that's been documented. I could be wrong. If somebody does know that, please, you know, go to jasonstewart.com and email me and let me know. I would love to know that, but I haven't been able to find anything. And the idea that people are going to see this film about this guy who had the most incredible fortitude, he plays Armie Hammer's mom, who actually teaches this young black kid to read, and when it was illegal, and this guy fights back, and I play this bad plantation owner that doesn't even realize it. I mean, I had never said the N-word in my life, and I'm in my hotel room on my day off practicing at it, and somebody's knocking at the door, you know, and this woman, I think she was the housekeeper, says, what's going on in there? And I didn't know what to say. I said, just a bunch of Republicans are talking.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, because I'd never said the N-word. And the director said to me, look, and the director is Nate Parker, who is the writer, director, producer of this, and a star. He plays Nat Turner. And he said, if you hesitate if you don't say it with conviction as if you've said it your whole life, I'm going to yell cut. So I had to practice weeks, you know, saying the N-word everywhere I went. And it was quite a lesson for me to learn, you know, that there is a way, because I think language has so much power. And I'm not of the school that thinks that you can change the meaning of a word, but I guess you can, you know, somehow, in the sense that you can realize that people say it without thought of where it came from. And but still, it's not something I would want to have in my vocabulary or, you know, or use in my life. I just don't believe in all that stuff. That's just me. Maybe it's my age.
Well, I think it's, I don't think there, you know, there's rarely an appropriate time to ever use that word, and I can't think of any reason. I can't even think of an appropriate time to use that word.
Well, you see the young musicians use it all the time in their work, and there's a lot of people that use it in their comedy, and I'm of the school that still has such power to different kinds of people, and I'm also of the school that, you know, when the kids in the colleges, I used to do a lot of shows and do a lecture in colleges about being openly gay in the workplace, and I would do stand-up comedy there, and the word queer was used all the time, and the word fag was used all the time. And I remember when I was in the, you know, eighth grade, someone had scraped, on my locker, the word fag with a nail, and you could see it every time I used my combination. And I saw it for 3 years. I never said anything to anybody. So it does change your life, you know, those things that happen. So those words don't, they sort of, I don't know, the hairs on my back and my neck come up when I hear them.
Well, I was bullied as well throughout, especially elementary and junior high school. It became a little bit less horrific in high school. But then, as you know, I had a TV show in L.A. for 7 years called Tinseltown's Queer. Because I believe that we can reclaim the use of words, and that is a word that I have the right to work to reclaim and reorient. And frankly, I think that it did work. But I appreciate that this film, The Birth of a Nation, is a huge contemporary turning point. But when you look back at your growing up years and your early adulthood, were you ever faced with a paramount decision and you thought, I'm going to go this way instead of another?
Well, the coming out period was in the early 90s. It was very much a part of that for me, I think. That really, really did hit me.
So when and how, I know you were on national television as an openly gay comic, and one of the first, if not the first, to do that. But when and how did you leave? Tell me about the days leading up to your first major public disclosure.
Well, it wasn't days. It was actually years, Nicholas.
Okay.
It was years. So I remember that Bud Freeman, who owns the Improv, had called me and said they're doing an AIDS benefit in Chicago at the Improv, would you like to headline it? I had just started headlining, and I thought, oh my God, I had done the RSVP cruises, and I didn't do very well because I didn't have an act that was really, palatable to most gay men at that time, because I'd never done a show to gay men. So I had basically done two shows where I was booked to do four, and they let me go. And so I thought, oh God, I can't do this. And then I decided to do the benefit. I said, it's an AIDS benefit. I can't turn down doing a benefit. And I flew to Chicago. I did it with Scott Capurro. And he had been out a lot longer than me. And I think that he was not happy that I was the headliner and that he was the feature act. I always got that impression, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. And I just basically did and said what was on my mind. And it was sort of very similar to the first time I did comedy. You know, but I had it was 10 years later, so I had had some skills. And I thought, oh, my God, and I just killed. And I thought, okay, this is it. This is, I can talk about who I am. Whereas on the RSVP cruise, I didn't talk about who I was. I just thought my I was gay enough just to be gay who I was. And, and I had to rewrite everything. And it was really quite monumental for me that I could just use my own life rather than making up girlfriends and just talking about the past.
Expressing the truth of your life.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same way when I had gotten cast on My Wife and Kids. And I got cast on this show playing a shrink. And it was a gay shrink. And it was a Damon Wayans show with Tisha Campbell playing his wife. And I remember the part was written as a bitchy gay guy. And I didn't know this because I had not auditioned for it. I was offered the part. So I didn't know what they had in mind. And when I read it, I thought, wouldn't it be great to just play him as the nicest guy that ever lived? And I did, and it just kicked ass. And I did, I was recurred on that show, and I did around 4 episodes, and it was just amazing. It was an amazing experience, again, to be a gay person, use who I am in my comedy on a television show as an actor. I just felt very powerful doing it.
I love that. Earlier in the show, for the listeners, Jason and I mentioned a seminar called The Experience, which we both did, and it still exists today. Go to experienceyourpower.com. But what did you do? No, it's dot. Well, you know, dot org might direct to it, but I just looked it up,
okay.
And you can find it by experienceyourpower.com. Maybe dot org redirects,
okay.
But I did double check that. Yeah, it is .com, experienceyourpower.com. So when did you do the experience, and did you take any major action out of it? Was that part of the
coming
out process?
Well, you know, I think my coming out on television came from that. It took me a couple of years. Nothing was really – I did it in 1990, and I came out in 93. But I think I did the show that I came out in late 92, I think. I can't remember. But I came out in 93 in June. And I think it was from that. And then also from that, I started the Screen Actors Guild after LGBT committee for openly gay actors. And now it's not just actors. Now it's some people, because we merged with AFTRA, and it's singers and journalists and newscasters. And I started that committee around 9 or 10 years ago. It'll be 10 years in 2016. And I'm the national co-chair, and I recently got an award for doing that, because we did a study at the Williams Institute at UCLA about openly gay actors for 3 years ago, and what we found out, of course, is that there are still a lot of people that hesitate, and there's still a lot of work to be done. And I guess a guy named Nicole Marie Ramirez said, hey, this guy needs to get an award, and he runs it, and he gave me an award, him and I guess their board, and I got the Jose Julio Sahara International Civil Rights Award, which is my first time winning something. I thought, wow, because I never really did it, you know, thinking about awards. But I got to tell you, I do like an award. You know,
yes, you're ready to thank the Academy.
Oh, please. Yeah, right. That's going to happen. One of the kids I mentored, Nicholas, actually for my birthday last year, gave me an Oscar. You can get a real Oscar, but there's something about it that's different. And one of the kids that I mentor, because I started mentoring kids around 10 years ago, and he got me an Oscar that's in my house. I'm like, okay, it's a real one that says Best Mentor. And I actually created a web series based on that, because I was so inspired by Louis C.K.'s show and Girls and Curvy Enthusiasts that I wanted to do a show that was totally the kind of show that I'd want to watch and that I'd want to be in. And it's been very successful. It was sold to Out TV and Wolf Media, and now there's somebody else is going to buy it for another platform. And I think it's on Roku also, if people have that. And
what's
it's called Mentor. It's called Mentor, and you can see it on my website for now until it starts with the next place it's going to be. And we're actually working on writing a second season. There's been talk of that, so we're working on writing it anyway. And it stars myself, this wonderfully handsome young actor, comedian, Paul Elia, and the beautiful Baywatch babe, Alexandra Paul, sort of lampooning herself. And we were nominated for 3 Indie Series Awards. And, of course, Alexandra is the dramatic actress, and we're the funny people. And she gets the award. She won Best Supporting Actress. And then I'm at her house the other day, and I said, hey, where's your award? Where do you keep it? She says, I had it. Can't believe she said it. She said, I had it recycled. And I looked at her like my heart had just fell out of my body. And she said, I said, really? I said, I can't believe. Where is it? It's in a landfill. I thought, Jesus Christ, how could she have done? Why didn't she give it to me? So now every time I see her, I go, where's the award?
So we don't know what the true answer is?
No, it's in a landfill. She had it recycled.
She literally recycled the award.
Yes.
She literally recycled it.
Yes, because she is the queen of recycling and electric cars. And when we've known each other for 30 years, probably as long as I've known you. And she lives in Malibu and I live in Hollywood. And every time I go to her house, you know, she could never reach my house because the extension cord wouldn't reach.
Well, Jason, congratulations, really, on everything. Is there anything you'd like to add that we have not yet discussed?
Yes, go see Tangerine. It's going to come out soon, probably online. It's this wonderful film written and directed by Sean Baker and Chris, oh, I don't know how to say his last name, but wrote it with him. And it's this wonderful film, and we just won Best Ensemble recently from the Tallgrass Film Festival. And it's the two gals that star in it are these two transgender gals. It's a day in the life. It's funny. It was shot on these iPhones. It was the biggest hit at Sundance. And these two gals won the Breakthrough Award nominations at the Gotham Film Festival. And I think they were the first gals to ever be nominated for playing transgender characters. And they're wonderful. Kiki Rodriguez and Maya Taylor. And I'm really, really excited about this filmmaker. It was executive produced by the Duplass brothers. And I have a small part in it. I play the doorman at a Hamburger Mary's. But it's really a wonderful film. And please, everybody support it. And go to see it and download it. And if it's in your area, you just go to tangerinethemovie.com and you'll see everything about it. It's really sort of an exciting film to be in with the idea of what we can do if you're artists and you're talented. And Sean Baker is just gifted, and I felt so lucky to be in this movie.
Well, congratulations. Maya Taylor is booked for my show, an upcoming episode of my show, to talk about another project that she's involved with. So I'm looking forward to that interview.
Is that the Marsha project, right, about the trans activist?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm having that whole team on my show in a week.
Wonderful. So, and I'm a big supporter of her. I sort of mentor her a little, so.
Well, fantastic. That's wonderful. I look forward to that interview. And Jason, come on my show anytime. I do have a final sort of selfish question.
Yeah.
So when I was living in Asia, I actually finally got some really decent film and TV roles, and now I have a decent basis for a reel. And I'm close enough to LA to get there for auditions, but of course I have no agent. So I'm thinking, like, there's LA Casting, there's Actors Access, there's the Breakdown Services. For someone without an agent, what do you think is the best way to go about pursuing auditions? And at what point do you think that someone should pursue an agent? And what's your advice there?
Well, I think that what you do first is you, not just to you, but to anybody listening out there, first thing you have to do is get really great at your craft and make sure you're great and make sure you really enjoy the work. Because sometimes I think people want to be in showbiz and be in front of the camera, but they don't realize they just love the whole idea of movies and TV shows and theater, and they don't realize that maybe that isn't their thing. Maybe they're a great writer or a set director or, you know, or technically they can do something. So make sure you really love the work. And the second thing is, after you've trained a bit and you know what you're doing and you have some tools, because it's just like anything else, you know, when your talent doesn't work, you need to have tools to fall back on. Call everybody you know and say, hey, I'm looking for an agent. I mean, I got to tell you, having a good agent is the hardest thing. I've spent my whole career looking for a great agent. So I don't have a lot of, expertise in that area. But
do you get all of your auditions through your agent, or do you find them on services like LA Casting and Breakdown Services?
Everywhere. I get offered things, or I become friendly with somebody, or I do bold moves and I put myself on tape. I have an agent in New Orleans that I got this other part through. That it just depends, you know. You just got, you know, the more known you are, you make sure you have social media so people know that you have a big fan base. You know, find out what everybody's doing. Go to film festivals, meet people. You know,
I'm doing all the right things.
You really want to work with. And then send them your reel.
Well, I think that that's great advice, and thank you for
it. Make sure your reels are good. Yeah, make sure your reels are good, because it's not just your work in the reel. It's the way the film is shot, and it's the way it looks, because if the film doesn't look good, you don't look good. Sometimes you can squeeze through with that, but a lot of times people these days are very influenced by the producing of the film too.
Certainly. So listeners can go to jasonstewart.com, that's STUART.com, and there's always more information about you and what you're doing, Jason. So thanks again for being on the show, and have a safe trip
Thank
to the Bay Area.
And I'll see you hopefully in Palm Springs when I get there next time.
I look forward to it, Jason, and you're welcome on the show anytime.
Take care, honey. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's my pal, Jason Stewart. Find him at jasonstewart.com.
We are, in fact, connecting the circuitry of humanity. All of us connected. Please continue to connect with Nicholas Snow on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, Instagram, Google+, and other social networks. Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. This program is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.